I forgot to mention that Jave and Kim's daughter, Taryn, is in the hospital, and they think they're going to have to take the baby, even though it's somewhat early. So I wanted to request prayer for her. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? That's referring to Judas. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Several times in the Old Testament, we read that the Israelites had to lay hands on the sacrifices that they made. In the book of Leviticus, you'll find this is enumerated several times. The Levites laid their hands on the bulls, one for a sin offering, one for an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for the Levites. That was a special offering for the Levitical priesthood. In Numbers chapter 8, verse 12, and the Levites shall lay their hands on the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for the Levites. The high priest also had to do the same thing, Leviticus 16:21, and Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. The elders also, for a national sin of ignorance, did the same thing, Leviticus 4:15. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. Now there seems to be at least three things that were going on when they laid their hands on these animals before they sacrificed them. But the first one was that there was an identification between them and the animal. There was some specification that required that they put their hands on that animal and in type transfer the sins that that animal is going to bear away to the animal. Secondly, there was a personal relationship with that, with the, those that were offering the sacrifice and the sacrifice. And thirdly, all of these cases indicate that there was a substitution, that the animal was going to receive death for what those that laid hands on him had done. So there was a transfer from the individual to the animal so that the animal bore what belonged to the person. That's substitution. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in order to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies and the types, he had to come into Israel, and they had to lay their hands on him because he was the sin bearer. He was the Lamb of God who was going to bear away the sins of the world. He was identified with them. He was the substitute for them, and there was a connection between him and them. Now remember, only Israel could offer the Lamb of God. It could not be done in Rome, by Rome, or any other nation. It could only be done by Israel. So I preach on the theme, when the elders of Israel laid their hands on Christ. Now, first of all, laying on hands on a sacrifice was a formal act. It was what gave the sacrifice validity. If this was not done, there was no connection. There was no validity in the sacrifice, and it couldn't take the place that it had to stand. Now, this included the high priest. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribe and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. That was their purpose, you see, to do that. And it included the whole nation in Mark chapter 15, verse 13. And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." So we recognize then that these Jews were laying their hands upon Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. Now, they didn't know that. They didn't intend to do it, but they were doing it. Now, the elders of Israel had also to purchase the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement out of the treasury of the temple. In Matthew 26, 14, we read this. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. They bought Jesus Christ out of the treasury of the temple because he was the sacrifice which God had appointed. The elders of Israel also had to take up this act in the council. And that's exactly what they did. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 66. Luke 22 and 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, there was the official action of Israel, because these were their leaders. And in the elders had to vote to put him to death. And that's exactly what they did. They selected him, and they laid hands on him in sacrifice. In Matthew 26, 66, "What thank ye?" The high priest said unto them, and they answered and said, "He is guilty of death." That was an official and formal act. The elders of Israel also had to put their hands on Christ for him to be the appropriate sacrifice. God himself shall provide a lamb, which was Christ Jesus the Lord, and it had to be done through the nation of Israel. But no sacrifice of the Redeemer could be effectual that did not come through Israel. Jesus said to the woman at Samaria, "Salvation is of the Jews." It could come from no other source, no other country, no other nation could do this, because Israel was God's chosen nation. He'd appointed the priesthood and all these things, and these came to fruition in our Lord's death. Notice also in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23 that Peter fastens this very fact upon those individuals. In Acts chapter 2 and 23, Peter says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have by wicked hands taken, have by wicked hands have crucified and slain." When the elders of Israel laid their hands on Christ, they did what God had purposed for them to do. This was in the purpose and the plan of God, because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. There was no other way that it could be done except by Israel. And this was written in the Old Testament, and it was prophesied in Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end a war and desolations are determined. In Isaiah 53:8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. In the 10th verse of the same chapter, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. But how did God do it? Through the nation of Israel. Through the leaders of Israel looking at Jesus Christ and saying he must die. And that's what the high priest said on one occasion. He said, don't you know that one man must die for the whole, for the people? Sure, they understood these things. They fulfilled the scripture. Notice in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 54. Matthew 26, verse 54. When Jesus said, you remember when he was arrested in the garden, when they came there, Peter whipped out his sword and he's ready to fight. Listen, in verse 53, Jesus said, thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? I've often wondered why that was 12 legions, because he had an infinite number. He could have had millions. But one legion of angels could do more than all the armies of the earth. You know. But notice verse 54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? It had to be that way. There was no possibility. Couldn't go to the right or to the left. Yet when the elders of Israel laid their hands on Jesus, they committed great sin, and they are responsible. And we recognize that. We know what they did, and they know what they did. This was the blackest day in the history of Israel, because what they did and what they accomplished, they meant one thing, and God meant another. Therefore, the Lord was working in and through them to accomplish his purpose. You know, they had tried to kill our Lord several different times. They took up stones to stone him. On one occasion, when he had preached in the synagogue, they took him out, and they was going to throw him over the brow of the hill, and he escaped out of their hands. And several different times that happened because his hour was not yet come. They couldn't kill him until it was done at the place. Had to be done in Jerusalem, under the circumstances which God had purposed and by the leaders of the nation. What did the leaders of Israel do when they had killed the Lord of glory? Well, the first thing that I would remind you of is they closed out the Old Testament system, because all those sacrifices came to an end. Jesus Christ was the antitype, and he was the fulfillment of every one of those things. The Passover, the Day of Atonement, all of those things were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when they laid their hands on Jesus Christ and put him to death, that was the end of the Old Testament. That stopped all the sacrifices. And when Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two, and the access unto God the Father was forever opened to every man that comes through faith. And you don't have to come through Judah or through Israel to arrive there. That was what was accomplished. They ruined the nation and brought all the calamities that's fallen upon the Jews on this good day. When you read about what Adolf Hitler and his henchmen did to the Jews, it's almost unbelievable what they did. But when they said, let his blood be upon us and our children, they were like a man reaching up and pulling off a three-quarter chain on his head. But when you pull that first link of a chain, you're going to get the whole thing. You may not plan on it, but you're going to get it all. That's what they did. They reached up, as it were, and grabbed the first link, and they didn't realize what they were pulling off on. And all the things that happened to the Jews, and if you read history, you will be astounded at the things that happened to them. In various cities, they were put to death, run out of the cities. And this was long before Adolf Hitler come along. And then when Hitler and all of those of his regime did what they did to the Jews, they would take those men, women, and children out to those pits. They'd have the graves already dug. And they'd make them walk down in there with their families, little children. I've read some of those accounts. It's heartrending that those mothers and dads stood there in those pits. They knew what they were going to do, but they had their little children with them. And so they would talk to them and try to comfort them, and they would shoot them down like dogs. Unbelievable. All of that was what they brought upon themselves. It mandated the destruction of Jerusalem and the Holocaust that came, and is still upon them. And the nation of Israel is still hated. When the elders of Israel laid their hands on Jesus Christ, they identified him and pointed out the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, just as clearly as did John the Baptist when he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When those Jews did that, they said, this is the Lamb of God that's come into the world to take away the sin. They didn't mean it, but that's what they said. When the elders of Israel put their hands on Christ, what did they do? Well, they ensured that that nation was going to suffer a bloody history. They demanded that God's vengeance would come upon them to the uttermost. And it did. And if you look at the destruction of Titus, he went there and he built a wall all the way around Jerusalem, and he wouldn't let anyone in or out. And when they finally took over that city, they razed it to the ground. Jesus had told the disciples, he said, you see all these, they said, look at these great stones here in the temple. And he said, there won't be one left on another. And that was what was brought upon their heads by what they did. Then the house of Israel must become desolate until the fullness of the Gentiles shall be come in. You see, God is working. And when he brings in the fullness of the Gentiles, the nation of Israel is going to be converted. We have that in Romans 11. But until then, their house is going to be as it is now. It's an iffy situation. And this is going to demonstrate that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You talk about grace. You talk about an overabundant mercy. You talk about loving those that hate you. Jesus Christ loves the nation of Israel. And he's going to deal with them again as a nation. And he is dealing with them right now. And even though they did all those things to him, yet, he will call them again, and they're going to be blessed. And what a day it will be. And then, many writers believe, and I think the scriptures indicate this, that there will be even a greater blessing, that when these Jews come to know Christ, that there's going to be an overflowing and abundant and revivals like the world has never known. I think that's the truth, and I think that's what's going to happen. The Lord of glory was rejected by the Jews so the door of salvation could swing open as it is to this day. What a blessing that is to us who are Gentiles. And that is the reason that the elders of Israel laid their hands on Jesus. They committed the greatest crime in history. It wasn't that which Hitler did was awful, but it was nothing compared to what they did in crucifying the Lord of glory. And so we must recognize that we ourselves stand in the same relationship in a manner that the Jews did. What are we doing with Jesus Christ? How do we look at Him? If we receive Him and bow down to Him as our Savior, then we are recognizing Jesus Christ. But if we don't, we're like the Jews who sought to crucify Him. Therefore, I would urge you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior who came into the world. May the Lord work grace in our hearts. If there's no other word or announcement, we'll be dismissed at this time, and we'll offer thanks for the food. Our Father, we come before You in Jesus' name. We pray that You will help us today. We thank You for the revelation of Your Word and the truth and how every detail has been fulfilled and will yet be fulfilled. We pray that You will bless each one present today, that we may know Christ as our Savior. Give Him the honor and the glory that's due unto Him for what He did. We ask You to be with us as we go to our homes. We pray that You will bless in the meal and bless the hands that have prepared it and bless the food to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.